Well, good evening. It's good to see y'all on the internet with us this evening. We're going to start out by singing Count Your Blessings on page 786. When upon life's billows you are tempted, tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our next song this evening will be There Is a Fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Amen. All right, our next song is He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our last song this evening will be Revive Us Again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Amen. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Thank you. Okay. All right. All right, good evening, everybody. Good to see you tonight on the live stream. Hope you've had a good week so far. Amen. And hope the rest of this week is good to you and good for you. I know we're all kind of wrestling around with that mountain cedar that's blown in from the Austin area and further points north and west with the wind, and they said the mountain cedar was really way up there, so I've kind of felt it these last couple of days, but they said the winds are going to change back around from the to the south, southeast, something like that, so we'll be getting that water off the Gulf, or get that wind off the Gulf, so blow that mountain cedar back up where it belongs. But anyway, we continue on. We keep plugging along at it. And we do have some prayer requests we want to think about and look at tonight. Do have a couple of praises here. First praise is my dad, Bobby Jack. He is home from the hospital. He went home on Monday. And so I talked to him on Sunday. He said he was going home on Monday. And he sounded great and said he'd had a good as good as rehab can be. He had a good rehab experience and has gotten some strength back. But that COVID really did a number on him. It's crazy. It actually hospitalized him after the fact. He went through the COVID at the house. My mother was hospitalized. with some lung issues and needing some oxygen. And then he got over the COVID, and then that's when he needed to go to the hospital. And just because he was so weak, couldn't get up, lost a bunch of weight. And so now he's back at it. He said he needs to put on some weight, but he likes to eat, so that ought to be pretty easy for him to get that weight back on. So anyway, Bobby Jack is home. We give the praise and glory to the Lord for that. Thank you for praying for him. And then Brother Ray Williams is also home from his stent procedure that he had last week. And as far as the reports that have come to me, he's doing well from this other stent procedure. So thank you for your prayers for Brother Ray and for Bobby Jack Lee, my dad. And so as we think about those praises, we do have some prayer requests. This first one is from the Stagecoach area, Mike Weddington. And it is his wife and sister. I believe Mike is the police chief there in Stagecoach. His wife and sister were in a very bad car wreck, so we want to pray for them, pray for that family, the Weddington family, Mike Weddington. And then got an update on Brother Bill Neal. He had had some struggles, had some issues with some lung cancer, and they thought they had that thing knocked out and taken care of, but apparently the spot has come back on the lung, and it's bigger. The spot is bigger, and he's got a blood clot issue on his on the blood supply going to his vocal cords, or something of that, dealing with his vocal cords. So I want to be in prayer for Brother Bill. My understanding is there's no treatment options right now for that, so just be praying for Brother Bill and Miss Karen. And then I got an update on Ronnie Holman. He still has the bladder cancer, and he, I believe, has surgery scheduled on February the 3rd. So I want to be in prayer for Ronnie and Nancy Holman. Pray for Ronnie's healing, that they would be able to deal with that bladder cancer and get that bladder cancer. And then we've got another surgery coming up. Miss Pat McCormick will be having a second surgery on her ankle. She was hoping to avoid that. But the surgeon says she's got to have that, so be in prayer for her that this surgery would really be the last surgery on this ankle with the scar tissue and just the trauma to the area and all that stuff. Pray that this really is the end-all, be-all surgery on that ankle of hers. And then somebody that I've never met, used to attend here many, many years ago, play in the praise band when there was one, a man by the name of Steve Godwin. Steve Godwin has COVID, so be in prayer for him as he struggles through that. And then an update on Terry Kimball. Terry Kimball, her results from her biopsy did come back, and she indeed does have uterine cancer. So uterine cancer for Terry Kimball, we want to pray. She believes that the cancer, she'll know more here in the coming days and weeks, but she believes that it is in the beginning stages and that they've caught it early, which is 90% survival rate if they catch uterine cancer in its first stage. So she's looking at, you know, some surgery there, and hopefully that's it. But if it's spread, she'll have to do some other things, radiation, perhaps maybe some chemo. So want to be in prayer for Terry Kimball as she, with these other church members, are struggling with this cancer thing going on. Different parts of the body, but still the same disease, cancer. And Terry is also studying for her boards for her nurse practitioner degree. So we want to pray that in the midst of her sickness, in the midst of her fighting this, that, you know, God would really give her the focus and give her the want to, and just give her the help she needs to retain what she studied so that she can give it back on the big boards and everything, and get that nurse practitioner degree all finalized and finished up. Amen? So we'll be in prayer for her. That's all the prayer requests I have. Do we have any more back there on the chat there? Oh, Oh! All right, Susie. Yeah, Susie's got the potential COVID. Going to get tested tomorrow. Okay, what else? Anything else? Well, hello, Bobby Coons. All right, very good. Anything else? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll lift these prayer requests up, and you guys join me as we pray for these things and lift up these praises, and whatever else the Lord lays on our hearts, we'll be diligent to pray for that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you for your graces, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the beautiful day we had today, and Lord, it was good to see the sunshine, and Lord, feel the warmth of that sun, and Lord, we're looking forward to the wind switching around and blowing all that pollen stuff back where it belongs, and Lord, we're just thankful for another day with you. We're thankful for health. We're thankful for our lives. We're thankful for salvation. We're thankful, Lord, for how you bless and how you touch, and Lord, we know you're the God of healing. And Lord, we have some praises tonight to lift up to you. We praise you tonight for Brother Ray. And Lord, these medical miracles, how they put these stents in these heart arteries and open them up. It's a miracle of God how they can do that and not have to crack the chest open and do open heart surgery. Lord, we just pray the stent would continue to work and do what it's designed to do. And Lord, we just pray you give Brother Ray continued health as he continues to take care of himself and eat right and do the right things and get his exercise and all that jazz. Lord, watch over him, but we praise you that he's come through that. And then, Lord, we praise you that my dad, my family, my parents have come through the COVID. Thank you that dad's out of rehab. And we just pray for Bobby Jack, Lord, you'd help him gain some weight, get his strength back in his legs, strength back in his arms, his shoulders, all that stuff, Lord. Just help him shake all the remnants of the virus, and Lord, just get back to his old self, and Lord, just give him that appetite, and Lord, give him that want to get up and get out of that room and go and do a few things, Lord, there at the house. But thank you, Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, as we come to you tonight with these prayer requests, we lift up the Weddington family, Lord, and we pray for this Mike's wife and his sister as they recover from this bad car wreck. Lord, bring healing to them and just help them as they, Lord, try to get all the details of that and cars fixed and insurance and all the stuff that goes along with that. Watch over them, Lord. Help them during this time. And then, Lord, we lift up our brother Bill to you tonight. We pray for Bill Neal. We pray for his, Lord, just his strength. We pray for his attitude. Lord, we just pray you encourage him. Lord, he not be one that walks around with great anxiety or a worried heart. Lord, I just pray that he just puts his trust firmly and completely in you and on you as he goes through this storm of life dealing with his cancer, not the first time, Lord, but the second time. And Lord, if it be thy will, we pray that you touch Brother Bill, you bring healing to his lungs, you remove that spot. And Lord, you just make it right and make it clean and make it all good and better. But Lord, if not, we pray you give him the strength, you give him the grace to withstand what he's got to withstand as he goes through a second bout of lung cancer, as we pray for him tonight. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you, Lord, and he continues to struggle with some bladder cancer. And Lord, we pray for this upcoming surgery. That they're able to get it and get it all. And Lord, put him on the right treatment plan and right treatment path, that he would be able to put this bladder cancer behind him, Lord. We're thankful for Ronnie and Nancy. We're thankful for what they mean to our church. And Lord, we just pray you touch Ronnie in a special way and bring healing to him. We lift up Miss Pat McCormick to you. We pray for this ankle that's going to have to be operated on again. Lord, we pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands and Lord, he would do what needs to be done so that this ankle has function and is not in pain. And Lord, there's not a bunch of scar tissue, and it's just, it's better than it was before. And hopefully, Lord, it's good enough to go on and do things on and get around and really get after it as Miss Pat and Paul like and want to do, Lord. We just pray you make a way for her, make a way for that surgery to be a success. We lift up Steve Godwin to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for his diagnosis of COVID. Lord, we pray he'd not have any severe reactions or severe side effects from the disease. And Lord, we pray that his body would just go through it. He'd not have to be hospitalized. And Lord, he'd be like one of the 40% of the people who get it that just don't have a lot of symptoms. Lord, we'd lift up Steve to you and pray your healing hand upon him. We lift up our Terry Kimball to you, Lord. We pray for Terry and Vince, another member here dealing with this thing called cancer here in the uterine, uterine cancer, Lord. And we just pray for her oncologist. We pray for her physician, Lord. We just pray for her psyche. We just pray for her spirit. Lord, we just pray that it's not spread, that it's certainly stage one, and that, Lord, they're able to get it and get it all. And, Lord, you just continue to use Miss Terry on these mission trips and different places around town. And, Lord, we just pray you protect her, you help her, you bring healing to her body and to her life. Be with Vince, Lord. I pray he'd be an encouragement to his wife. I know he is. I just pray you undergird him in that, help him. And, Lord, we just pray as they go through this together, Lord, they would grow closer to one another as they grow closer to you, Jesus. And we're praying for her healing, and we're praying, Lord, you might deliver her from this uterine cancer. Lord, we are praying for her upcoming boards, and that you would give her the focus, you would give her the determination, you would give her the recall as she studies, to Lord, to have great success when she goes before the boards and has to give all that information back and make sense of it all. And Lord, we just pray this nurse practitioner thing would come to its fruition, and she would be credentialed, degreed, and all of those things, and get to practice all the rites that go along with that. Lord, we lift up Paul and Pat's daughter-in-law, Susie, tonight, as perhaps she is coming down with COVID. We pray your healing hand upon her. Lord, as she goes and gets tested tomorrow, we pray it's not the COVID, that it's negative for COVID. Lord, may it be just the simple flu. Lord, if it is COVID, we pray you give her strength. Lord, you give her stamina, that she would not have any of those unfortunate side effects from this COVID-19. Lord, watch over those that are struggling with their health. And Lord, be with those that are struggling emotionally. And Lord, we pray for those healthcare workers that are still just under the gun, inundated, in these different COVID wards across the county and across the state. Lord, strengthen them, undergird them, give them what they need, Lord, to carry out the duties, the great ministry of medicine that you've bestowed upon them. And Lord, we pray your healing hand upon people that are suffering and struggling with this COVID. Lord, we lift up our president. We pray for his cabinet. And Lord, we pray for our government. Lord, we pray that the laws and the regulations and the different things that they propose and that the Senate and the House, the Congress discusses and votes on, Lord, I pray that these would be things that would be church-friendly and, Lord, would not hamper the gospel one bit. Lord, we know there's a liberal push in some different areas, but, Lord, I pray in the midst of all this that you would protect the unborn and that, God, you would protect the right of human beings to worship their God in the midst of this new administration. Lord, we pray for our military. Watch over them. Lord, keep them safe. Those National Guardsmen that are up there protecting the Capitol, Lord, we pray that you would keep them safe. And Lord, the different radical groups that are around the country, we pray that those things would, that people would just lose interest in that radicalization, and that thing would just kind of fizzle out and go by the wayside, Lord. We pray you would protect this country from any kind of radical indoctrination. Lord, we would hate to see what we saw on January 6th. We'd hate to see that again. So, Lord, watch over this country. We pray you bring revival to it. We lift up those in the congregation tonight, Lord, that may have an unspoken. Lord, we're thankful that we can bring these unspokens to you. We love you and we praise you, Lord, that you're sovereign and you know exactly how to handle these things that we just don't know how to deal with, Lord, that we're burdened by. And Lord, as we struggle with these things, these unspoken requests, and we can't make intercession, we just worn out making intercession, Lord, we pray that you would make intercession on our behalf about these things. We love you tonight, Lord, and we praise you. We praise you for all that you do for us, the many blessings that you give us. We thank you tonight for all that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. Well, anything else to pop up there? No? Okay. Very good. All right. Well, we are in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, and we'll pick it up tonight about verse 28. And we'll read it all the way through the end of verse 32. That'd be verse 35. So Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse 28 and taking it on through verse 35. Exodus 32, 28, the Word of God reads this. It says, "So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said," verse 29, "dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." We pick it up in verse 30 now. "On the next day, Moses said to the people, 'You yourselves have committed a great sin. And now I'm going up to the Lord.'" He's going back on the mountain. "And now I'm going up. Now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement." Notice what he says. "I can make atonement for your sin." Very powerful here. Don't miss this. "Then Moses returned to the Lord." He's back up on Mount Sinai. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written.' The Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin.' Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made." Now, this is our, I want to say, I think it is, the last Bible study in this series of Bible studies, within this series of Bible studies on Moses that we've been calling Moses' Finest Hour. All right? I think this is the caboose. This is the end. Now, we may have a few more things as I look at chapter 33, but I think we're here to the crescendo, to the great end of Moses' Finest Hour. Not that he doesn't do some good things on in the rest of the book of Exodus, but this may be it. Moses' Finest Hour, the last part. We're in the last 10 minutes of Moses' Finest Hour is what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get out. Last time in our Bible study, what were we talking about? We were talking about how Moses, when he came down off of Mount Sinai, how he responded, or how he held the rebellious Hebrews accountable to the Word of God, all right, to the law of God, so to speak. We said basically that Moses did all that he knew to do, right? What did he do, Pastor? Well, in that he destroyed the idol, right? That was verse 20. And that he publicly rebuked who? He publicly rebuked Aaron. That was verse 21. And then he executed limited judgment on the people, verses 25 through 27, by the swords of the Levite men. Well, we read how 3,000 men fell that day. These were the instigators. These were the leaders of this insurrection, of this rebellion. They weren't all the sinners. They weren't all the sinners in the rebellion, but they were certainly the leaders of the insurrection and the rebellion, and they were taken down by the sword, so of the Levite men. So, as we come to this last section of Scripture in Exodus 32, what do we see? We see a second intercession, verses 30 through 35. Now, from a human point of view, Moses had dealt with the sin of the people. as the leader. All right, he had dealt with it. He had done everything that he could. He had reclaimed the loyalty of the people. But God still remained in what? God still remained in wrath on the mountain. Right? On wrath on the mountain. Now, wrath, W-R-A-T-H, if you're not quite understanding my voice tonight, wrath is one of the many attributes of God. He's a God of love on one hand, and He's a God of wrath on the other. Because He's a God of wrath and must punish sin, there is a place called hell where His wrath is experienced. Okay? Because He's a God of love, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to take care of the penalty of your sin. So if you place your faith and trust in Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't experience His wrath. You get to experience His love for all eternity. But just because we're heaven bound, and just because we're saved tonight, does not mean that His wrath has ended or that it has gone away. Right? Wrath is one of the many attributes of God. For some today, for some, even evangelicals, for some, reflecting on this incident or on the attributes of God, the wrath of God for them, for some, might not seem like a very compelling quality. They would look at this, and this, for a lot of preachers and pastors, they would look at this, and this would not be what? This would not be something they would want to talk about. The wrath of God. Well, it's part of God's attributes. We've got to talk about all of God, right? I would even go so far to say that many evangelicals today, and we're evangelical, right? Many evangelicals today consider the wrath of God as an outdated and ignored concept. They don't go there. That's just someplace they don't go, right? People today do not want to believe in the wrath of God. And they approach it like this. People's perception, my perception of people's perception out there, is they think that their lack of belief somehow changes, just because you don't believe in it, somehow changes the very nature of God Himself. Just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean that God is changed by your unbelief. He's God Almighty. And if the Word of God says He's a God of wrath and that He judges the sinner, then friend, you better believe He's a God of wrath and He judges the sinner. Now, I know we're supposed to be Bible studying and that's kind of preachy-preachy, but I'm just trying to make the point. Amen? Trying to make the point. God's wrath was not an outmoded or outdated or ignored concept to Moses. Moses knew full well what God's wrath was. He had already experienced it up on Mount Sinai once. He had been on the mountain. He knew the terror of the holy God of Israel. He had heard God say that He would punish the children. Remember? He'd been up there on Mount Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. And God had given him all the law, ceremonial law, covenantal law. What's the other kind of law? Ceremonial, covenantal. Has something to do with government. Civil. Yeah, the civil law. He'd given him all the law. And remember, part of that covenantal law was that He would punish the children for their father's sin to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate Me. That's per Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. So the judgment of God was not something for Moses to be taken very lightly. And I would say the judgment of God is something we today as the church should not take very lightly either. So what in the world was Moses to do? He's got to go back up on the mountain. He's going back up on the mountain. We see that he's back up on the mountain, right? He was up on the mountain. He came down. Now the brother, a day's gone by, and now the brother's got to do what? He got to march back up the mountain, right? He's got to get back up there. He had done everything that he could do humanly, but he still had to go back up the mountain and face who? He had to face God. He had to go face the presence of Jehovah God. Now, the night passed, and the morning came for Moses to ascend the mountain. at this point in the passage, we make some theological speculations here based on what the passage says, right? We read some things in. Some things are inferred here, so to speak, in studying this, taking notes on this. We get the flavor of it. During the night, we speculate, theologians speculate, during the night, Moses has a light bulb moment. He has an idea. Moses had remembered when the people were leaving Egypt. What did God do? God had told them that they could take a what? They could take an animal. They could kill it. And they could put the blood on where? On the doorpost and lintels of their houses, demonstrating that an innocent victim, the little lamb, the little sheep, had died in the place of the guilty people who were what? Who were living within the house. And that night, way back in Egypt, before they left, that night back in Egypt, the angel passed by, or the angel passed over, right? And if the angel saw the blood, he went over. But if he didn't see the blood, he took the firstborn. Remember, right? Yeah. In addition, God had also given Moses what? He had also given Moses instructions for the Day of Atonement. How the high priest on the... Now, we've not even constructed the tabernacle. We've not even gotten close to doing that. But he had given him the what? The ceremonial law. He had given him the instructions for the Day of Atonement, how the high priest on the Day of Atonement was to take an animal, kill it for the sins of the people, and sprinkle the blood on this Ark of the Covenant over the mercy seat, right? The bottom line was this. Moses knew, it's inferred in the passage by what he says, Moses had some understanding that mercy, remember what, what we've been talking about on Sunday morning? How that old tax collector's beating on his chest and crying out for mercy? That mercy could be found. Moses had the inkling. He had the idea. He was understanding the truth and the concept that mercy could be found if atonement for sin was made. If something died, mercy could be found. So Moses must have thought about that. He must have wrestled with that. He must have struggled that. And so the next day when he went up the mountain, he must have been saying to himself, mulling it over in his mind, maybe, maybe God will accept. Maybe he will accept. Accept a life. Maybe God will accept a life. And so he reached the top of the mountain. And Moses began to do what? He began to speak to God with great emotion. Great emotion, verses 31. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will," notice what he says, but now, "if you will forgive their sin." Remember when Moses was up on the mountain the first time, right? And God knew what was going on down below. And he informed Moses that the people are obstinate and rebellious. Moses didn't know. He didn't know at that first encounter with God about this whole subject of the golden calf. He did not know the specifics of their sin. He did not know what he was going to run into when he descended the mountain. Now, Moses didn't have any idea. The Holy God of the universe knew. He didn't know. He gets down the mountain. He sees what's going on, and he's literally blown away, Moses. So now he's back up on the mountain, and he's thinking, could the Holy God of the universe? I mean, this is the burning bush God, that the bush ain't consumed. this is the Passover God who slew all the firstborn of Egypt. Could the holy God of the universe, could he simply forgive sin just like that? Just kind of willy-nilly? Moses knew something had to be paid. He knew something had... The holy God of the universe, the just God of the universe, has to do the right thing. He's holy. He's loving. But he's holy. So God's got to do the right thing here. I want you to see something here in verse 32. Hopefully it shows in your translation. In my New American Standard Version, in verse 32, it says, the Lord said to Moses... Or let me get up there. But now, if you will forgive their sin. And then it's got this long dash. Hopefully your translation has that. Or maybe has a colon or a semicolon or some other punctuation. But now, if you will forgive sin, verse 32. But now, if you will forgive their sin. And then you've got this long dash. And if not, it's got sin. And if not, that punctuation mark is for a pretty good pause on behalf of Moses. This is a very dramatic encounter. Moses is coming to the very end of himself. And when he gets to the very end of himself, he's making sure, does he really want to take the leap that he's about to take? And then in verse 32, he takes the leap. Right? But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written. What book is Moses referring to here? Moses is referring to none other the book of eternal life that is mentioned in Revelation in several places. The Word of God reads in Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes, Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Big deal to be in the book of life, right? That's where the saints are recorded. That's where saved people, their name is written down. One day your name is going to be professed in heaven if you're saved. Before God, and before his angels. Coming up the catwalk or whatever it's going to be. Just stepping away from the Bema seat is Jeremiah Allison. Let's give a rousing round of applause for Jeremiah. He made it! Amen, right? Praise the Lord. Something like that. I'm sure it'll be far more greater than what Pastor Lee can come up with just right off the cuff. But you get the idea. Your name is going to be announced by Jesus before the Father and before his angels. God's blotting out the people. Moses talking about God's blotting out the people is a powerful statement of judgment. A powerful statement. Remember, that's what God wanted to do. Or told Moses that's what he wanted to do. We talked about how that was a test for Moses to rise to the occasion in his prayer life. It looks like he's arisen to the occasion in his prayer life, right? So when Moses offered himself, Moses was fleshing out the great concept. We've said the phrase I don't know how many times. Fleshing out the great concept of substitutionary atonement, which is what Jesus does for us on the cross, right? As a substitute, he was offering himself. Now, Moses is not sinless. Moses is not perfect. But the idea is there, right? The concept is there. He was offering himself. He was willing to go to hell if it meant the salvation of the people. Now, I want you to remember back a couple of Bible studies ago, probably a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the ironies of the story. In our passage on the preceding day, we were talking about the preceding day, God had made a great offer to Moses before he came down off the mountain the first time. God had made a great offer to Moses. He said that he would destroy the people, that but would save Moses, and he would make Moses the father of a new nation. In other words, the whole thing with Abraham would be done and over with. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that would be done with, and Moses would be a new Abraham. He would be a new beginning for the people, right? Moses, not knowing the specifics of their sin, he had not come down off the mountain that first time. Moses, not knowing the specifics of their sin, while on that mountain, he pleaded their case. They'd already kicked him to the curb. Where's Moses? He's been gone too long. We need some worship time. So Aaron, make us. And so they form, you know, so he's pleading their case. And Moses does what? He intercedes on their behalf. But then going down off the mountain, he soon realized how far the people had strayed. And, you know, God said they were being obstinate, rebellious. I had no idea. Moses, like, I had no idea. But in meeting with the people, he realized that he loved them in spite of their sin. That's a beautiful thing right there. He loved them in spite of their sin. That's the only thing that would motivate somebody to take on the torment of a place called hell for somebody else that's supposed to be going to hell, to not go to hell but experience life. That love is the only thing that motivates that. That's the only thing that motivates that. Fast forward, here we are back in our passage. Back on the mountain, Moses now made a counteroffer. You know, God had made his offer. Moses arose to the occasion. We see him praying this beautiful second intercession. God had said the first time, I will destroy them and save you. Moses now said, back up on the mountain, save them and destroy me. That is a powerful intercession. That is the crescendo of Moses' finest hour. As far as you and I know, as far as we know, never has a greater offer been made by any human being in all of the course of history. You say, well, what about Jesus? Yeah, Jesus was the Son of Man, Son of God. This is Moses. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was God in the flesh. Moses is just a man, right? Moses is just a man. It is a powerful intercession. It is Moses' finest hour. Amen? Now, there is something similar in the writings of the Apostle Paul, but it cannot match Moses' offer. Now, talking about his love for Israel, Paul says this in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 2 through 4. Romans 9, 2 through 4. This is what he says. He says that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart, for I could wish, Paul says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises. This is the same kind of offer, but it is not as great as Moses' offer. What's the difference, preacher? What's the difference? Paul knew that it was impossible at this point in the redemption story, on the backside of the cross, Paul knew it was impossible for any human to be a substitute to sacrifice himself for the sins of others. There could only be one sacrifice, and it was Jesus, right? Paul knew that. But Moses stood early in the history of Revelation. He stood early in the redemption story. He was at the beginning of the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Bible. He's not at the end of it, where Paul is. He's at the beginning of it. Perhaps I would think that Moses is a smart man. But Moses did not perhaps understand all that Paul understood. There's got to be some difference of what these two men understood. That Jesus, Paul knew that Jesus is the only one able to make such an atonement to be that substitute. Now, I think Moses got it. As he coalesces and brings the law together and presents the law to the people, perhaps he then connects all the dots and he sees the sacrificial system that's coming with the Ark of the Covenant, with the animals being slain and the Day of Atonement and all of that and everything that goes with it. Perhaps he began to look forward to, I believe he did look forward to, that one perfect substitute, that one perfect Savior. But at this point, when he's up on the mountain for the second time, I don't think the dots have quite connected yet for that. That's why he offers himself. But it's a beautiful thing where Moses shows us a Christ type. He's not Christ, not perfect, but at his finest hour, he sure is pointing towards somebody. He's pointing towards Jesus Christ, didn't he? Right? Destroy me and save them. That's what Jesus does on the cross. Destroy me, save them. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Paul made the offer hypothetically and theoretically in his letter to the church of Romans, letter to the church of Romans, Romans 9, 2 through 4. Moses really meant the offer literally here in our passage. He was willing to be sent to hell if the people could be saved. Moses, consummate leader, consummate pastor, consummate shepherd, what a great, great man. Amen? He's going to make mistakes. He is not perfect. But boy, he hits one out of the park with that second intercession. Wouldn't you agree? Amen? All right. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. I hope you've found it enlightening and intriguing and something to prompt your studies in the Word of God. We'll get back at it this coming Sunday morning if the Lord tarries and doesn't take us all home by then. And we'll be back in Matthew chapter 8. You guys have a blessed rest of the week. Wash your hands, social distance. Wear your mask, all that stuff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you for your truth. Lord, we thank you once again for the concept of, or the theological truth of substitutionary atonement. We thank you for the Christ type that Moses is in this passage and in this great story. And Lord, thank you for what an example he gives us and how he prays and how he's willing to take it all on himself for his people, the sacrifice he's willing to make. We praise you and we love you for that model, that example of sacrifice, how it points towards Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you, God, that you have come. Thank you that your second advent is impending and right around the corner. And we praise you and thank you again for loving us and for saving us and for keeping us for all eternity. We look forward to the day when you say our name before your Father and before his angels. We love you tonight and praise you. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Good night. Love you. You're dismissed.